Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Eileen Marty, professor at Florida International University and World Health Organization advisor. Good morning, Dr. Marty. We're reporting here in Illinois an average of 1,700 new COVID cases a day. But is this right that we should be looking at hospitalization rates as a more accurate indicator of transmission and what's going on here?
Oh, so that's really very important to make these distinctions, Bob. So, cases are going up in the United States, and they're particularly going up in the Northeast. And yes, Chicago is part of that rise, even though you're not technically in the Northeast. What is going on is BA.2 is finally showing its ugly head, and we're seeing a real increase in the numbers of cases. When you ask the question about numbers of cases and compare that to hospitalizations and what should you be looking at, so let's take a look at what's going on so that my answer will make more sense. First, we had this huge surge of Omicron, and that was BA.1, right? So that happened, and the result of that is there were a lot more hospitalizations, a lot more deaths, but overall, it was a fewer percent of people that ended up in the hospital. And that was in part because there was already a level of immunity, in part because of the about 65% to 70% rate of people who are fully vaccinated in the United States and a percentage who are significantly boosted. Now, what happens in the aftermath of that? Well, it turns out that having had BA.1 does give you protection against the severe effects of BA.2, although people we've already seen reinfection. So in other words, people who had Omicron back in December, January timeframe or so forth, have some protection against what's circulating right now, this BA.2 and several subtypes of that, which helps reduce severity. So when we look at hospitalization rates, that gives us an idea of how severe a circulating virus is, how severely it's affecting the population. BA.2, for someone who has never had any SARS-CoV-2 and is unvaccinated, is just as bad, if not worse, than original Omicron was, and possibly worse than original Omicron. But we have right now this high level of immunity, either from having been infected or from being vaccinated or a combination of those, that we're not seeing that much in terms of severe disease. That's one of the explanations. Another explanation is that we have much better ways of managing patients, people as outpatients, and keeping them from having to come into the hospital. And so, again, that's another reason why we're not seeing as much of an effect on the hospitals. But the problem with all of that and with thinking, oh, okay, we can, you know, we're done with this, the problem is that we know, unfortunately, that like many other coronaviruses, the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the wild virus, does not give you long-term, long-lasting immunity. And unfortunately, neither do the vaccines. So what we're really worried about in the public health community is that people will get a false sense of security because this particular wave seems milder because of the currently existing background immune levels. As those start to drop, and as one of these subvariants of Omicron, because there's several recombinant forms now that we're very concerned about, you've probably heard about the XE, which is one that WHO says is about 10% more concentrated in terms of the number of viral particles that you end up getting. And so possibly worse. There's an XD, an XS, XF, all kinds of X recombinants. They either recombine BA1, BA.1 with BA.2, or BA1.1 with BA.2, or it's a, and there's a couple like XD that are a bit of delta with a bit of BA.1. So there are a whole bunch of subtypes that we're worried about that as the immunity drops could lead to, again, a pickup in the numbers of cases that are severe enough for hospitalizations. Was that too much science? Or
no, I love talking to you because you don't need me. You interview yourself and you're very thorough. I appreciate that. In the minute I have left here, can you clear this up? I'm really confused about this now. You don't have to be boosted with the same brand of vaccine that you got during your initial series of shots. This is contrary to what we had been told.
Right. So that was for the third booster that we were still recommending stick to what you got. But right now, it's looking that if you switch out with your, so if you had three Pfizers, now get a Moderna. If you had three Modernas, now get a Pfizer. We're seeing a little bit more of an impact on neutralizing antibodies. And that's not that surprising because those slight variations in terms of the exact nucleic acid sequence, the exact lipid that holds the messenger RNA are different enough to kind of give the immune system a little bit of a wake up call and say, wait a minute, yeah, I've seen this before, sort of, but let me get a whole bunch more fighters in for this because it looks different enough that I want to wake up the system a little more. So there's data that supports that, and there's been data that supports, especially if somebody had like the J&J or AstraZeneca, to absolutely switch over to one of the messenger RNAs.
Do the students at your class there at Florida International University, do they look at their watch a lot while you're talking?
No.
But you're great. No, you're the best. And our listeners appreciate your Wednesday morning briefings. Have a good day.
Thank you, too. Take care.
Dr. Eileen Marty.